You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it does. You know I have only one talent.
Only one talent.
But I don't want to despise that talent.
Only one talent.
I know someone who has two talents.
Only one talent.
And someone else who has five talents.
Only one talent.
And only Lord, I feel like hiding my gift. I feel like hiding my gift when I'm in the midst of gifted people. Oh Lord, I feel like hiding my talent. I feel like hiding my talent when I'm in the midst of gifted people. Oh Lord, only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one talent.
I need to use what I have if I want to hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servant.
Only one talent.
For if I give you one talent, you will be judged for that talent. Oh Lord, you know I have so many fears in me.
Only one talent.
I'm afraid that people would laugh at me.
Only one talent.
I don't wanna be embarrassed.
Only one talent.
That is why I hate myself.
Only one
talent. Oh dear Lord, I might fall in short. Am I walking in fear, or do I have a spirit of fear? Oh Lord, am I falling short? Am I walking in fear, or do I have a spirit of fear? Oh Lord, only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one talent.
I need
talent.
To use what I have if I want to hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servant.
Only one talent.
For if he gives you one talent, you will be judged for that talent. Woo! Oh Lord, there's an issue of laziness too.
Only one talent.
I like taking my time. Like to take my time.
Only one talent.
I don't want to work hard. I want to take my time.
Only one talent.
I like sleeping and eating and resting. I don't want to be bothered.
Only one talent.
And so I'm scared that you're gonna say to me, thou slothful servant. No, 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 slothful servant. Oh, I'm scared that you gonna say to me? Thou slothful servant, no, 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 slothful servant, oh Lord, only one talent,
only one talent,
others have more,
only one talent,
many more talents,
only one talent,
I need to use what I have, if I want to hear you say, well done,
only one talent,
faithful servant,
only one talent,
if you give to me one talent, I will be judged for that talent.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there? Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. What a beautiful song. Amen. Whatever talent you have, even if it's one talent, you can use it to serve the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, we just want to humbly ask, if you are on and you can't be on video, to please come on video if possible. If you are busy doing something, feeding children, taking a shower or something like that, then you don't have to be on the video. But if you can come on video, we would really like you to come on video so that we can see you and interact with you on this virtual church. Amen. What a blessing. Well, we are so blessed this morning or afternoon or evening, wherever you are, to have with us our very own pastor. Amen. To preach the word of God to us. I believe that this morning your life will never be the same again. You will be impacted by this word. You will be transformed by this word. And if you're excited as I am, I want you to rise up to your feet wherever you are, in your home, in the car, in the bus, wherever it is. I want you to rise up. Amen. And let's put our hands together as we invite our father, our daddy, the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving. other name means more to me. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together and give the Lord a praise clap? Hallelujah. Woo! We bless the name of the Lord. Thank God that through technology we can reach you. And to God be the glory. You know, we've reached you. I thank God that many of you, when we decided to do the Trinity outreach for this Swollen Sunday, you obeyed the Lord. I can see from the numbers here that this service has become very international, and it's because of your obedience. Thank God that he can give you a heart like this, or you love him enough to respond. You know, the primary reason why Jesus came to this earth is not to make us rich, that's a side effect, but to save us from our sins. And any activity that makes you connect to that vision, you have connected to a reason for life. That's the only reason. Since you got born again, what else is there? I mean, God made up, should have just killed you and gone to, so that you can go to heaven, so that you don't fall into temptation and backslide and get lost again to the devil. But he left you here taking a huge risk, because you can backslide and go into perdition. But he trusts that since he's giving you his spirit, you will do exactly what Jesus did, save his people from their sins. That's the primary rule of a Christian. No matter what you do, no matter what you eat, no matter how blessed you are, your role is that because God has saved you, you are to save others. How do I know? Because in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the first disciples Jesus met, Peter, James, and you know those people, he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So whatever else you've been fishing, tilapia, redfish, green fish, fishing for chicks, fishing for guys, fishing for whatever it is, children, make sure you fish for the souls of men. Then you would have fulfilled everything you're called for. You know, when I'm in my workplace, whatever I'm like to do, they allow me to do it. I'm allowed to do it, to drink, to eat, to relax, to sit down. So long as the primary job is done, may that be your purpose on this life. May you hold it strongly. And I pray that this week will not be the only time we'll have that kind of mindset. But week after week, we'll be winning souls and using this pandemic to the advantage of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because now, we don't have to just invite people we have physical contact with. Well, because they said physical distancing, they'd never said digital distancing. Neither did they say electronic distancing. So we would do electronic soul winning, digital soul winning. South Africans can join, Europeans can join, Africans can join, even Chinese, they can join. So long as they are not bringing corona, we can bring people in. In Jesus' name, say amen. Wonderful. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory and praise this morning. We are grateful for the gift of life, and not just that, but the grace to live it. Your word says that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your consistent faithfulness. You have been faithful. You've caused the sun to go down and to come up. You caused us to sleep and to wake up. You caused the heart to beat for diastole and for systole, because our breath, we breathe in and we can breathe out again. Thank you for your faithfulness. Now, speak to us faithfully into our hearts. We invite you, mighty Holy Spirit. We pray, oh God, that be the subject and object of all that we do here. May you take the glory and may you share with no man. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we evict every demonic spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Now, today we want to share with you again. I told you this is the month of faith. Last month was the month of honor. And we got to know what the main thing that we got to know was that, you know, the power of God works through his word. And people who love God love and honor him by respecting his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, so let's all learn to recognize the word of God as that. God is bringing you direction today, and it will be a blessing. Now, last week we talked about faith, what faith is and how God sees faith. What faith is, we said faith is obedience and obedience is faith. And so we went and we talked through that and we explained why faith is obedience and obedience is faith. And the one particular thing that we talked about was that faith is when you look at the very onset of creation. After all, what is faith? Faith, Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, that faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For example, if you are here and your life is substance, the substance of your life is based on something you haven't seen, you're a man of faith. You're a man of faith. You know, for example, for those who believe in heaven, you have substance of heaven. Bible says now faith is substance of things before. We have hope of heaven, and we are living our substance. We are substantiating that hope with the way we live now. Okay, so anybody that has a plan to go to heaven, you realize they have a certain lifestyle. Just the same way that somebody, when I went to school, I wanted to become a physician. And I had hopes of becoming a physician. Therefore, my lifestyle was different from other lifestyles. There were people, sometimes there were friends of mine who would want us, let's go to the club, let's go to this, let's play basketball, let's do this. I did a few, but much of my time was spent studying. What is the substance behind that hope? The reason why I was studying instead of playing basketball, playing the fool, running away with chicks, and playing the buffoonery was that I had hope to become a doctor one day. Because of that hope, futuristic, but I give substance to it in the current time while I was in school by studying hard, by separating myself, by behaving. Because my behavior changed. I was transformed into, people call me bookworm. People call me bookworm. People call me antisocial.
Wow.
One lady who I was very interested in, who ran away somewhere. One time I wrote a letter to her and said, you know, I really thought I was interested in you, but you didn't mind me. The lady told me, well, I realized you didn't mix business with pleasure.
Mm.
And I realized that because I believed in a futuristic something. So it showed in my life. So even the people that I could have been playing the fool with, they knew that, no, my life as I was living as a student was actually giving substance to my hopes in future. And no wonder I became a physician, and those who play the fool could not. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you that the one key thing is my faith, my belief in something of the future. And I prepared for it, worked hard for it because of what I wanted to get. I give substance to my future hopes. That's what faith is. Faith gives substance to your future hopes, and it brings the future hopes closer into reality. Ladies and gentlemen, what is it that you believe? If you don't start working on it now while it's not here, you're never going to make it. Yeah. Many people go to school, but they don't believe in the fact that studying is what's going to make them a professional. Therefore, they never change. Many Christians, as we're here, we talk about heaven, but we don't live as if heaven is real. Therefore, our lives are different. Therefore, you realize that that person is not a child of faith. Faith people, they will do something to bring substance to the future. It's a truth. It's a truth.
Wow.
Now, for example, I felt that I was not going to remain a single guy forever. I was going to get married. So I started working. I started putting money aside. I asked about how much does it cost for a wedding. Before I even talked to a lady about, you know, welding myself to that lady, I had plans and I put substance to it. I told myself, no.
Hey, prepare for the rain.
As you can see, now I'm not alone. Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a meat for him. So my faith gave substance to my future hopes. And no wonder today I'm married. those my friends who didn't think that way, they would go girl after girl, woman after woman, and some of them are not married because they did not seem to believe or act in the current stage for something they hope. Ladies and gentlemen, anything you don't have now, one of the reasons is because your faith has not been given substance, or your hope has not been given substance to draw the hope into the current. And anything that you believe in, you will start acting on it. Now, faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it, but you're giving evidence to it.
You believe it.
That faith. Many Christians, they talk about faith, but they don't do faith. Faith is your current state that gives you something for the future, and that makes you blessed. Yeah, it's faith.
Powerful, powerful.
And heaven, those who go to heaven are the people that believe and have faith enough to live their lives now, as knowing that heaven is coming. For that, because of that, you give your life to Christ. You will serve the Lord. You read your Bible. You will pray. You will do many things. That is faith. From today, I can assure you that faith is what makes people different. Everybody believes in something. I'm telling you, everybody. Even when you are sitting down, the reason why you don't check the chair before you sit down is that you believe that the chair can carry your weight. Yeah, you believe it. So you move your body down, down, down. You move your body down, 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 and then you actually relax your muscles, and you don't expect that you break your bottom.
That's right.
Because you believe that the chair can carry your weight. Yeah.
You're preaching.
If you can believe in a chair, why can't you believe in God?
Amen.
Yeah. If you can believe in a profession that makes you go to school, you've gone to school. You are not fool. You are intelligent. How come you don't believe in God? How come? You believe that one day you get that degree, it will give you money. How come you can't believe in God?
Wow.
So, ladies and gentlemen, faith is not as exoteric as we make it. It's practical. It's real. It's the now. It's every day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Bible says that's what it is. Now, let me tell you something about the faith. Bible says in verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6, for without faith, it's not possible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible. Not that maybe, it's not possible. So you are here and you don't apply faith in God. You are not pleasing God. The thing that makes you pleasing to God is your faith. Yeah. Even women, the thing that makes them stick around when you tell them, I love you, what keeps most of them around is their hope of the future, that you will keep them on your side. You will marry them. Yeah. That's why men lie to them. So you can't please a lady who knows that I'm with you for only 2 minutes. They will not be happy with you. Most of them will not agree. So if women will not allow you, why do you want God to allow you? You can't please God without faith, without a long-term mindset. Without faith, it's not possible to please God. Nobody who just takes all the things that come now, but I have no long-term relationship with God, you can't please God. Without faith, God will not be happy with you. Because Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he exists.
Exactly.
And that he rewards those who diligently seek him.
Amen.
Amen. So today, my second, the second day or second week of our prayer, of our message, So the second thing is, last week was faith is obedience and obedience is faith. And we learned in Hebrews chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. All right? And we learned that so long as Adam and Eve were willing and obedient, they ate the good of the garden. God told them, do everything, but this fruit, don't eat of this central fruit, because the day you eat it, you will die. So long as they were willing and they obeyed God's word, they ate the good of the land.
Yes.
They didn't need to sweat. Everything was provided for them. Everything was cool.
Paradise.
Yeah, paradise. Right. Stop. And the devil realized that, no, this is not good. That time, they didn't know that faith is obedience, obedience is faith. They didn't know that what was keeping them over there was their faith that was making them obey. Now, the devil knew it. So when the devil came, what he did is that he didn't tell them disobey. He just affected their faith. That's all he did. Wow. He just told them, he just insinuated something that will cause them not to believe in God. He said, has God indeed told you not to eat, that you will die? And he said, no, you will not surely die.
A trick question.
And he said that just so to put some doubts about God. And when they took the bait, so really, we will not die. So God is lying to us. So God, that's a doubt. So all that the devil changed is their faith. He brought doubt into the faith. And immediately, they started disobeying God. The fruit they were not supposed to eat, they started eating. Disobedience is actually a reflection of faithlessness.
Wow.
Christians who believe and have faith, they don't like disobedience. Even when we fall to disobedience, we regret, we feel bad in our heart. It's the truth. So Adam and Eve immediately switched from obedience to disobedience. And they lost their good of the land. They stopped eating the good of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, you want God to provide for you? Be obedient.
Wow.
Obedience is faith. Faith is obedience. People that have faith, they walk in obedience.
Yes.
So if you want to see a Christian who has faith, watch how he obeys. Not how many scriptures he knows. Not how many tongues he can put across. Not how long he can even pray. But how much obedience in that person's life. Do they love God? That's what will make you link yourself to that person, then you eat the good of the land with that person. Adam and Eve, when Eve disobeyed and brought Adam, both of them lost their livelihood of the good land. May you walk in obedience from today. May you walk in faith from today. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, the theme for today is faith is prayer and prayer is faith.
Wow.
Faith is prayer and prayer is faith. Okay, faith is prayer, and prayer is faith. Last week we said faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. This week is faith is prayer, and prayer is faith. All right, our first scripture that we want to read is the scripture that is found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint or not to get tired. All right, then he went on, verse 2, keep going, saying, there was in a city a certain judge, like a magistrate, who feared not God, neither regarded man. He had no fear for God, he didn't care about anybody. And there was a widow in that city, and that widow came unto him, saying, avenge me of my enemies or my adversary. And keep going, sister. And he would not for the widow. But afterward, he said to himself, though I don't fear God, I don't regard man. Yet, because this widow is troubling me for too long, I will avenge her, so that she does not, lest by her continual worry, she worries me, you know. The widow was very persistent. So she was every time, please avenge me of my adversaries. Now let's go on. Next verse. And the Lord said, hear that unjust judge, what he said. Next verse. And shall, then he asked the question, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night? That is prayer. Though he fell long with them. Okay. Shall God not do it? Then he asked the question that proves that faith is prayer and prayer is faith. He said, I tell you that God will avenge his children speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, how do I know faith is prayer? Because he said that if you keep asking the Lord, you know, you keep going to the Lord, you too, will he not avenge you speedily? You see, he said he was comparing himself. He was comparing, that was prayer, that the judge was then, this widow came and troubled, please avenge me, help me, intervene in my situation. I have no power. You have the power, intervene in my situation.
Amen.
And then the judge said, man, I don't care about God, I don't care about men, but the pressure with which this woman, the persistence,
prayer.
I better avenge her, otherwise she will weary me. Mm-hmm. She will weary me. Yes. And God compared our prayer attitude to that. That many of us, we don't believe enough to say that, oh, I'm going to keep going. Mm. You pray once and you forget it. Mm. You don't have faith. And he said that, look at this, what this man did. Don't you think God cares about you better to avenge you speedily? Mm. Then he asked a question, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith? People who stayed the course in prayer.
Amen.
Will he find such faith on earth? So faith looks like prayer, and prayer is faith, just by this definition. Mm. What does this mean? This means that God interprets your prayers as acts of faith.
Oh, wow.
Acts of faith. Woo. How do I know it? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, he goes on to say, he that comes to God, why do we come to God? We come to God in prayer. He that comes to God, the requirement is he must believe that God is, that he is, he exists, and that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is faith, and faith is prayer. Apart from obedience, prayer is the next thing that shows people who have faith. Mm. Think about it. If you don't believe God, somebody that you are talking and there's no sound from him, you must really believe to keep going.
I'm telling you.
You must believe. Many of us, we do not believe, because one person asked me that, when I'm talking to God, he doesn't respond. He doesn't say a word. I can be there the whole day praying and no response. Why should I continue? Then I asked the person, when you send a text to somebody, you have faith, you believe.
Yeah.
Although you are just one-sided, you can even send a voicemail and say, oh, the person will pick up the voicemail. Mm-hmm. And truly, you even tell somebody, oh, I've already told him. One person told me that, oh, he called me. I said, no, you didn't call me. You called my phone. And the person was saying, oh, why are you saying that? I said, well, because you spoke to my phone, you didn't speak to me. And the person convinced me that, no, I can give you evidence. I can show me your phone. She showed me that, and truly was there. Why? Expect me to pick it up. Because I know the ID. God knows your name. God knows those who come. Bible says God knows those that diligently seek him.
Wow.
So if you can believe human beings to drop a voicemail, to send a text, you don't see them, you don't hear them, and you are speaking like a crazy man. Some of the voicemail can be very long in chapters. Yeah. And then you go away. And you go and say, oh, I've already sent the message. Yeah. You can even put a email. You send a long email and you just click, bah, and then you walk away. It's been done. Sent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can do that and you can go and say, so long as I've spoken to the person, I've communicated with the person, how come prayer, because you don't hear a word, you say that God does not exist? Come on now.
Come on now.
You are saying something.
Let's wise up. Ladies and gentlemen, God interprets our prayers as acts of faith, for sure. Clearly. You know something? When we are here, let's start beginning to live a life of faith. Jesus said in Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and he said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know what that means? He said, my old life is crucified. You have to kill your old self. You have to bury your old self. You have to now live a new life, a Christian. You crucified with Christ, yet you are alive. It's not a physical death, yet you are alive. You can see me alive. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. You have to allow Christ to come and live with you. And he said, and the life that I now live from there, I live by faith. Bible says the just shall live by his faith. The just, our lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith. I live by the faith, the kind of faith that Christ had. I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself, was so faithful, believed that even when I die, my Father will wake me up, will resurrect me. And we all know it. I've been to Israel twice. I've been to the tomb. I've been the evidences of his life.
I'll be there.
You'll be there. Jesus.
I'll be there.
Our life is a life of faith. Amen. And faith is prayer, and prayer is faith. If you can't convert your life now, the life that you now live, current life, into a life of faith, ladies and gentlemen, God will not be happy. It's not possible to please God. You will not please God. It's just like living with a wife forever. I mean, till death do us part. And the wife is not happy with you. Unless you don't intend to live with God forever. If you intend to live with God forever, let God be happy with you, I tell you.
I tell you.
Bible says the church is a bride of God. Mm-hmm. Me, I want God to be happy with me.
Yes,
and only, for women, the element that they need to make them happy is attention. My wife has told me. My wife said, when I listen to her, I show that I love her. So this year, I just sit down and I'm listening. Uh-huh. Yeah. Men, when you make them kings, they are happy. God, when you come with faith, he's happy with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The people that enjoy the Christian life the most are the faith people. So long as Adam and Eve walked in faith, communicated with God, they were in God's good books.
They were in paradise.
When the devil came and brought doubt, they stopped communicating with God. Mm-hmm. Actually, they hid away from God. Mm-hmm. God came to the garden and said, Adam, you have not contacted me. Where are you? I haven't heard from you for a long time. Said, I heard your voice and I hid myself.
Oh, mercy.
Many of us, we have not called on God for a long time.
No,
God says, it's been a long, long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. You know, I don't like friends that just say hi and bye. They just need something and they come. You know, prayer is relationship. Prayer is not just about needs. God interprets it as an act of faith. I believe it's a lifestyle. How do I know it's a faith thing? Because Matthew chapter 6, it's a relationship with faith. Matthew chapter 6, the Bible talks about it. I think it's verse 6 or 7. He said, when you pray, from verse 6, but thou, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you
openly.
Then the verse 7. Openly. Verse 7. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that their much speaking is what will make them heard. It's your faith that makes you heard.
Okay.
Therefore, verse 8. Watch this. Be not therefore like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Do you know this?
Amen.
This is the biggest revelation about prayer.
Yeah.
That prayer, actually not knowing, prayer was not about your needs.
No.
It was about your relationship. God says, come into the closet with me. Spend time, shut the door, you and I, for a while. And God, who sees, not even who hears in secret, who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Openly.
It's not God who hears you. Why? Because he said, don't, it's not much speaking. It's not about this. It's about the relationship. Because before you came, I myself knew what you needed. Many times my children have come to me when they are asking. I know some of the children, I know their tricks. They come, Daddy, can we get you some water? Daddy, can we cook for you today?
Oh, yes.
Daddy, can we buy you this? Sometimes they want a certain amount of money and they use a small amount to buy me a gift.
Mm-hmm.
They are developing the relationship. Uh-huh. They are spending time with me. They are giving me phone calls. Sometimes the first question is, what do you want? Because I know.
That's it. But
I appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
They want to spend time with me. They want to create the atmosphere. They want to do whatever it takes to build a relationship.
Sometimes
they don't even throw in, they don't even ask. I myself perceive what they need. I said, brother, let's continue the journey, but I know what you need. I'm going to give you.
Right.
Then I give them what they need, and I say, let's continue the relationship, because that is what excites me. Mm-hmm. They've learned that. So they've learned to call me. They've learned to send this. They've learned to... It's about the relationship. Prayer gives you an opportunity to be in the presence of God in a secret place. Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you shall say of the Lord, he is my refuge. You will speak, begin to speak. God is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust faith. And then all the blessings follow. Psalm 91 follow. Why? Because it is those who dwell in faith. God interprets your prayer as faith.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
He interprets your prayer as faith. Therefore, what I want you to do is just like this man. He, the lawyer, the judge, intervened for the woman. So what God sees, God interprets as faith. Faith causes God to intervene in your situation.
Yeah. Amen. Faith causes God to intervene.
Faith also causes, just like God, you can approach God as a judge, as a father, and as a friend. One of the reasons we go to a judge is that they have power that we don't have.
That's true.
When they say somebody is troubling you, you bring the judge in to sit and judge between the two of you. Yes. When he says, well, this thing you stole, you have to replace it. They have no choice. Sometimes they give you a fine. You will pay the fine. God is like that. When you approach him in prayer, he sees the faith. He sees a call to intervene in your situation. Mm-hmm. And he comes in with the power you don't have. And he produces what you cannot produce. Exactly. He speaks to the things that your own words will not speak to. Exactly. He speaks to that failing situation, that failing grade, that failing marriage, that difficult boss. And suddenly, Bible says, where the king, word of the king is, there is power.
Power.
So I come to the judge to pronounce sentence, and his word is final. When he intervenes, that's why Bible says that if you have faith, even like a mustard seed, you speak to this mountain, it will be moved. It's not you, it's the faith and God that you bring to intervene. His power moves things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So from today, let's interpret it that way. God interprets your prayer as faith. How do I know? How do I know about the intervention? Acts chapter 10.
Okay.
From verse 1. There's a guy called Cornelius. This Cornelius was an unbeliever, but he was a powerful man. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God in all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, he did two things. He gave alms to the poor and prayed. Then he saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who's prayerful has angels working for you 24/7.
Oh, wow. Amen.
Yeah. Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord of hosts, the Lord of heavenly hosts. He has a lot of angels. Anybody that comes into the presence of God, you are somebody that angels intervene in your life. Yeah. You are dealing with the righteous judge, just like in Luke 18. Mm. And because of that, your issues are carried to a higher office. Mm-hmm. One day, somebody was troubling me. I told the person, you know what?
Careful.
Be careful. I'm going to... And I went and knelt down in the bathroom, and I spoke to God. I'm tired of this colleague. Within 24 hours, the person was fired.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Intervention.
Yeah.
Intervention.
Intervention. Just like this Cornelius. God says, your prayer and your almsgiving has come to the Lord as a memorial. Has come to the Lord. And Bible says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? He said, your prayers and your almsgiving has come up as a memorial before the Lord. And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who's Peter. He lodges with one Simon Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. God had intervened.
Yes.
One time I was there, And, you know, I had done something to my wife that was not nice. I don't know what it was, but, you know, usually I don't quarrel with my wife. She, you know.
Yeah.
Men don't quarrel. Men don't quarrel. The ladies quarrel with us. When you get the poop, it's all so I didn't quarrel. She had quarreled with me, but, you know, she was not happy with me. Whatever. So
let's always quarreling with us.
Yes, they're always quarreling with us. Oh, please, ladies, don't quarrel with us again. Anyway, don't tell my wife I said this, okay?
Oh, yeah. Forgive us.
No, we will not.
Now, so she was not happy with me. And I insisted on my position. It was difficult for her for a long time. Then one day she told me, once she looked in my face, said, "You know what? I'll report you to your boss." And I said, "Eh? You report it to my boss?" I said, "No problem." So when I went to work, I just told my boss about whatever had happened in a way that when it comes, it will not be a problem. And my boss didn't ask me any. Then I said, maybe he's talking about my pastor. My pastor too didn't ask me anything. My boss didn't ask me anything. My father didn't call me. I said, "Hey, maybe this girl, she was just threatening me." Then about 6 weeks or so down the line, or 3 months, you know, the issue had resolved. And I, as we're sitting there chatting, she was trying to touch me. She was trying to, I said, "I don't like that. Stop it, I like that. Stop it, I like that." Oh.
TLC.
I just told her, stop it, I like that.
Stop it, I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so she was doing that. I said, "Hey, by the way, you remember that 3 months ago you told me you were reporting to my boss. What happened?" "Do you know what she told me?" I said, "I told her my boss didn't talk to me at work. My pastor hasn't called me. My parents haven't called me." Ah. Then she was still touching me. I said, "Oh, stop it. I like it. Stop it. I like it.
Oh.
Then she told me that, "Oh, it was not your father. It was not your boss. It was not anybody, the physical. I spoke to you, God the Father, who's your
boss."
Wow.
Hey.
That's
ladies and gentlemen, she has learned to find a judge in her situation.
Wow.
She has learned to go on her knees in prayer. Some time ago, one of my children was acting funny, as if she was not my child. As if the child was demon possessed. Look, we could talk to this guy and the guy would look into our face and walk away. What can you do? Can you kill him? Misbehaving. Look, he caused us so much trouble. Then my wife and I came together. We said, "You know what? Let's report this guy. Let's seek a judge."
A judge.
I like
we took every day. We went down on our knees every day. Today, he's one of the best sons I've ever seen.
I know he's right.
Because I called the judge, the righteous judge, into my
life. I like this judge.
Judge Jesus.
We were coming to America when we were in Ghana. Then my wife and I got together and said, "You know what? Every evening, we are going to go to church and pray for 1 hour united prayer. We are calling for the judge, intervention of God in our trip to the United States." We did that for a whole year, every evening, 1 hour.
Wow.
We held hands and we prayed, "Lord, we agree that when we go, this will happen. The church will work. We'll find a family. The work will work. Finances will be okay. We will live and not die. Our marriage will work. We'll be experiencing, stop it, I like it. Stop it." We said all those things in prayer. What we didn't know, faith was the prayer. God was happy. We intervened. Today, I say to the glory of God, you are an evidence of what prayer has gone on. Intervention is taking place. The judge's power is at work. His work is what you are seeing. Today, I'm preaching to many people. Today, I'm talking to many people. Today, I am blessed with a job. I'm blessed with children. All these things have been the source of strength from the judge. That's why the Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." If you're here and you are a person who does not pray, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. You have no judge. You're on your own. You're saying, "I believe in myself. Judge, I don't need you. I don't need any intervention." Life is long, my brother. Life is long, my sister. Temper it with prayer. I tell you, that's why we go for the flow prayer meetings. We are there all night. Tomorrow night at 11 p.m. from 11 till the morning.
Every prayer.
Many of you just sleep. because you don't need any judge. Carry on.
Oh, we need the judge.
But I believe that from today things will change. I believe that the judge's intervention is coming.
Yes, so amen.
Yeah. Look, I told the guy that, you know, be careful what you do. And I went and reported him. He was fired. Yeah. These days, I don't waste time. I will, every time I'm going, I'm asking, Lord, intervene. Exams, intervene.
Intervene.
Chat. Exams, intervene.
Intervene.
All right. So it's very important. So number one is that God interprets your prayer as an act of faith. Mm-hmm. Number two, do you understand it now?
Yes.
Because you are dealing with God as judge, and he will judge in your situation. Number two, God sees your prayers. Or number two, are you there?
Yes.
I'm reading from Faith Secrets. Faith Secrets. Okay. God sees your prayers as faith. Okay, it's different. The first one is he interprets. Okay, he is interpreting as he's coming. It means you want intervention. It means you want intervention. That's it. He's interpreting. But now he's seeing. It's different. Let me read it to you.
Yeah.
And you will understand the difference. Mark 11 from verse 22 to 26. If you can project it, please.
Yeah.
Mark 11.
Verse
22. Yeah. It says that it is he. Mark 11, please.
Mark 11.
Mark 11.
Yes.
From verse 10, and Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. In other words, have the God kind of faith. Mm. Have faith in God. Now, when they say have faith in God, how does God interpret it? You see the semicolon over there? He's trying to explain, have faith in God. What does it mean? Then he goes on to the next verse. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea,
wow,
and shall not doubt in his heart,
wow,
but shall believe. That's faith again. You are praying, but you do it in faith. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He wow shall have whatsoever he saith. Wow.
Whatsoever.
Whatsoever. You shall have it. That is power. Telling a mountain that, man, this is supposed to come down. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is some power at work when you pray.
Yes.
God sees faith as power. Faith as power. He sees the power that is coming. He says when he sees your prayer of faith, he sees an opportunity to show power.
Power. To release power.
Yeah, to release power. Prayer is a supernatural command for things to happen.
Wow.
That's what it is. When you pray, things happen. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse number 16, James chapter 5, verse number 16. I want to read from the Amplified Version. Okay? I'm reading from King James. I put the Amplified there. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray to one another that you may be healed. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. But the Amplified says, okay? So we all know the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. I'm talking about what you are missing when you don't pray. Now, it says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another so that you may be healed and restored to spiritual tone of heart and all that. Anyway, now he explains what prayer does. He says the earnest or heartfelt continual prayer of the righteous. You see, many of us will do short prayer. We don't. Today we pray. Next week before we pray again.
Merci.
Prayer must be a lifestyle, continuous. Me, when I start the day, I pray. I never get out without praying. When I sit in my car, I pray. When I get to work, I pray before I start work. When I'm touching a patient, I pray. When I sit in my car again, every time I pray. When I sit in your car, you don't pray. I say, please, I'm afraid.
Uh-huh.
I pray. When I'm writing exams, I pray.
Pray.
Yeah.
Pray.
Before I proposed to my wife, I prayed and fasted. Before I came to America, I prayed. Projects, I pray about it. Jobs, I pray about it. Continuous. I commit everything. Because there's a power that God sees when anybody's... You watch this.
Everything by prayer. Nothing without prayer.
Said, the earnest or effectual fervent prayer. Bring it back. The Amplifier. He says that prayer that you are praying, Amplified, my dear sister, bring it on. He said,
Sister,
The earnest, heartfelt prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available. And that power is dynamic in its working. Do you know what it means? It makes tremendous power available and it's dynamic. Anything that is dynamic is a thing that can change itself. We call it the law of conservation of energy. The power that comes, it can change, you know, the sunlight, it can produce food. It is heat that is coming. It can produce light. It, when it hits on the green leaves, it combines with chlorophyll. And then it takes the light and brings it down and forms starch with it so that we can eat. It puts the energy in the starch. When we eat, we get capacity, and I can preach to you. You can sit down and you can see. Everything comes from the source, power from the sun. That is God speaking. Wow. He says he is the sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that work uprightly. When you tap into the power of the sun, almost everything on this earth, the energy comes from the sun. Almost everything. Almost everything. That's why the Lord is a sun and shield. When you pray, you are tapping into the sun. Dynamic, tremendous power. Dynamic in its working. He makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its workings. Dynamic in its workings. The way it works, it can change. Because of you prayed, you didn't even know what you're praying about. You just spent 2 hours in your closet in the morning. You woke up at 4 to 6 and you prayed. You don't know what you prayed. You may have just spoken in tongues. But the power that comes is not only for food. It's also for protection. It's also for marriage. It's also for your children. It's dynamic in its working, just like the sun. That is why the Bible says, when you come into your closet, you who are praying in secret, you'll be rewarded openly. Because the Lord already knows what you need. He will convert that prayer power. It's like the sun, and it will convert dynamic, dynamic. And when they say somebody is versatile, another word is dynamic. Yes. He can do this. He can do like me, as I'm here. I can sing, I can dance.
Yeah.
See, you don't believe. You don't believe. If only you had believed, I would have sung for you. No, without faith, I'm not happy with you, so I won't sing. I can sing, I can act, whatever, but you don't believe. Now, what that means is dynamic. Every boss wants a dynamic, as somebody who can do this multi-talented. Prayer brings dynamic power. That works on your children, works on finances, works on protection, works in your car, works, it has no... Corona may have closed barriers, but your prayers will cross barriers and affect people over there. The sun, when it shines from one place, it covers the whole earth. It's dynamic and it's working. That's what prayer is. Prayer that we prayed in Ghana is now working in America, producing powerful people like you, sitting down listening. What a blessing. That's what prayer is. Dynamic in its workings. And let me tell you how prayer works. Revelation chapter 8 from verse 3. When you pray, let me tell you what happens. What happens when you pray? The angels are there. They are working power. Bible says, and another angel came and stood at the altar. Prayer. Altar is where we pray, right? That angel was having a golden censer. And there was given to that angel much what? Much incense. Prayer is incense. It carries up like Cornelius' prayer as incense. That he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar where, which was before the throne. Let me use this. There are three things in proximity with your prayer. The prayer is in the center. The angel is on one side. God's throne is on another. Your prayer is in the middle. And God gives incense and mixes your prayer with the incense. And the angel carries it to God's throne where God exists. This is it. That's how prayer works. So prayer is anybody who prays is surrounded with a lot of angels. Because just by virtue of what you are doing, your prayer, the angels are the intervening connection between you and God. So anybody who prays, angels are called to attention. Because they are the ones who carry your prayers in the form of incense and let it ascend unto God's throne. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who doesn't pray, you do not have angels around you, and therefore your situation is bleak. Therefore, from now, everybody, you must enter into prayer. Prayer is faith, and faith is prayer. So the angel carries the prayers, and it mixes it with the incense, and it carries it to the Lord. It's true. Now, listen to what happens. And verse 4, the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, you and I, ascends up before God out of the angel's hands. That's why anytime you are a prayerful person, you have a lot of angels walking with you. Jesus Christ, before they crucified him, he said he went and prayed 3 hours. And when they came there, the angels, the people came and said, are you Jesus? He told them, I have angels I can command to deal with you right now, but I won't. Ladies and gentlemen, the smoke of the incense, which came out of the prayers of the saints. Your prayer brings a smoke of incense, and it ascends up. It's ascending up before God. Please bring that smoky scripture again. Verse 4.
The smoky.
Yeah. Prayer is power. It's smoke. It's incense. It's at the altar of sacrifice, where your thing, your prayer is it's a sacrifice, I tell you.
Wow.
That's why it's done at the altar. You kneeling down, the thing is gathering smoke. Fire has come. Wow. The sun's power can burn things and can carry it to the Lord. Yes. Which came with the prayers of the saints. You are creating fire you don't know about when you are praying.
Yes, so.
And it's ascending as smoke before God out of the angel's hand. Listen to verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of your prayers from the altar. And then, now that it's gone from God and come back, he cast it on the earth. That answer's coming.
Wow.
And there were voices. God will speak for you with his voice.
Amen.
There were voices. There were voices. Sometimes your boss is saying, look, promote him. It's a voice that God has commanded. There were thunderings. Power is coming. There were lightnings. There were earthquakes. That's power. Dynamic is in its working. Tremendous power. That's what happens. I am very, very, I'm sorry if you are not praying. I'm very sorry if you don't join the flow prayer meeting because your case is pitiful. And finally, the last thing that when you pray, what happens? When you pray, number 3 and number 4 combined, God recognizes your prayers as the greater works of faith. Greater works. Greater works. John 14. 12 to 14. John 14, 12 to 14. God recognizes your prayers as greater works of faith. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Verse 13. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that's prayer. You see, greater works are coming through prayer. Shall ask in my name, that will I do. Then the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God is glorified when your prayers are answered. But it's used to consider it as work. And then next verse, the last verse after that, it says that so that the Father may be glorified, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is work. It says works, greater works. Don't think prayer is relaxation. It's work. Jesus prayed in the garden until he sweated as if it was blood. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, that Epaphras, who is just one of us, he labors fervently in prayers. Epaphras, who is just one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you. He's always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what happens. It's work. Prayer is work. Prayer is work. And it's labor. If you just think that it's easy chop, cool chop, no. You have to learn to do it. It is work. Jesus worked the prayer. I've learned to put it as it's a duty I need to also perform. And I'm enjoying. When I go to work and I'm doing my scope, it's work. But I enjoy it. I call it television games, video games. as I'm doing, and I'm cutting a polyp there, a tumor there, and then they pay me for it. Prayer, you should develop your job of prayer to the point where you enjoy it. I'm going to my lover. I'm going to the presence of God. I'm going to wait on the Lord. You should say it with joy, not with grief. Though it's work. May God make you enjoy your job.
Amen.
The most difficult thing is to be in a job that you don't like, that you have to do daily. Begin to enjoy prayer. May the Lord make you enjoy prayer. May the Lord make you enjoy prayer.
Amen.
Such that you come, although it's work, it is actually pleasure to you. It's actually a hobby to you. You can't wait to be in the presence of God. I can stay in the presence of God for 3 days. I can stay in the presence of God till midday after waking up at dawn. I just love it. I just want to be where you are. That is what it is. So see it as work. You know, when you are kneeling down in the morning,
yes,
tell yourself that your work starts at 9.
Yes.
Tell yourself, no, your work starts at 6.
At 6.
That's when you're on your knees. You have more hours than the regular person who doesn't pray. Because prayer is work. As you're on your knees, you are actually started working. When you go, you'll be surprised that very soon promotion will come.
Amen.
That will make you be paid more. Because God sees that as, you started working already. So when you're going to write exams and then you wake up to study, don't say it's too much waste of time. No matter how much time, sit and pray. You started work. Call it as part of it. It's part of the work. It's part of the blessing. And I believe that if you can begin to see prayer work as relevant, just like you see your job as relevant, it starts at what time, you will now have hours that you will start. 4 a.m., you get up. I am in the presence of the Lord. I don't know what to say. I put on the flow prayer. I'm praying through. I've started work.
Yes.
God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will pay you. He will reward you. They that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. From today, may you be a woman of prayer.
Amen.
A man of prayer.
Prayer.
The Lord honor you and reward you. I can see your prayer life jumping.
Oh, yes.
Your prayer life coming alive again. I can see the devil wanted to keep you from God, but from today, you'll be a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. Oh, I'm not lost for words, but I'm lost for time. So we come your way on this same channel next week. Even if you are invited, please stay on, because next week, part two, God willing, part three will be far more powerful because it's dynamic in its working. See you next week in the same time. Rise to your feet and let's pray. Rise
to Hallelujah.
Rise to your feet, please. Put your hand on your heart wherever you are. Don't go away, because there's something special I'm about to tell you. Don't go away. Something about prayer that you don't go away yet. Everybody that was invited, please don't let this just be today's visit. Next week, come along for the next part. Next week, come along. That link is yours. That link is free. Share it with some other people and let us get to know you. Whoever invited you to Christ. But now Christ is inviting you himself to this. We are here. The Zoom is yours. The church is yours. Your pastor is your pastor now. You don't have to look elsewhere. My number will be posted there. You can call us anytime. And we are there for prayers, for counseling, all for free in the name of Jesus. Put your hand on your heart and let us pray. Put your hand on your heart, please. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that is here. Lord, many times we prayed, but we have not understood what we were doing. But today you've told us about the tremendous power coming, dynamic in its workings, how flexible, versatile your prayer is, just like the sun. We pray that we'll come to you in faith. Now, if you are here and you are praying this prayer, but you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, as we are talking, you don't know if the rapture comes now and Jesus catches his people, will you be left behind? Or if you died, will you go to hell or will you go to heaven? You can just make things right by one prayer of faith. It starts with believing. I just want to pray with you a short prayer. Please, everybody under the sound of my voice, say this prayer with me. It's a prayer of faith that ushers you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, so that on the day when he calls his children, you will not be left behind. The devil wants to treat you like Adam and Eve, get you out of the garden, but God wants to usher you back in. Say this prayer after me. Everybody, please repeat it. Say, Almighty Father.
Almighty Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Wash me.
Wash me.
In the blood of Jesus Christ.
In the blood of Jesus
Christ. I believe Jesus is the Christ.
I believe Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
He died for me.
He died for me.
And for my sins.
And for my sins.
By this faith.
By this faith.
I am born again.
I am born again.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Please write my name.
Please write my name.
In the book of life.
In the book of life.
And fill me.
And fill me.
With your sweet Holy Spirit.
With your sweet Holy Spirit.
In Jesus Christ's mighty name.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, let me go there. It's a good life.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.